Hello, and welcome to Yes Indeed Pod, a podcast about indie tabletop role-playing games, where I interview creators about their games and inspirations, and about the theory, process, and practice of game design. My name is Mark Shepherd, your host today and always, and your friendly local indie enthusiast. This month is International Podcast Month, and to celebrate, I am reaching out to those bastions of the indie scene, actual play podcast showrunners. This week, I'm talking to Logan Jenkins from Very Random Encounters, an actual play podcast where as much as possible is subjected to randomization. Its seasons are pretty short, so it straddles that gap between one-shot and campaign-length actual plays. It's also a lot of fun, so I encourage you to check it out. Now that's out of my head and into yours, let's talk indie. So today we're talking to Logan Jenkins of Very Random Encounters. Welcome to the show, Logan.
Hey, great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. It was fun to be on your podcast, a different podcast, a few months ago. So I thought it would be nice to repay the favor and get you on talking about Very Random Encounters.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Before we get to that, why don't you tell us who you are and what you do in indie tabletop role-playing games?
So I'm Logan Jenkins, and primarily in indie role-playing games, I am one of four hosts of the show Very Random Encounters. That's a show where we play pen and paper RPGs and randomize as much as is possible. So like we randomize characters, villains, names, places, and other weirder stuff. We play a different game every season, and we keep our seasons pretty short. We've done a total of 19 seasons, nine of which are larger seasons from 12 to 20 episodes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then 10 that are shorter. The mini seasons are usually about three episodes, and we have a special guest on. Right now we're running Troika, and Nathan Blades is our guest on that mini season.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Nathan Blades, another big name from actual play podcasts.
Yeah, Nathan's great.
Yep. And I should shout out to Nathan's show, The Talent Agency, because it's a lot of fun to listen to. Any other podcasts you want to mention?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have the one that you've been on, Game Mechanics, a show where I look at tabletop role-playing games from lots of different perspectives. I try to focus on different perspectives. That's like my main thing. Like I've had a drag nun on talking about her experience playing a role as it pertains to being, you know, a nun out in like gay space. And so I try to get lots and lots of different perspectives.
It's a good show. When we have, you have cool people on it. So yeah.
You were on it and you're pretty cool. So,
well, you know, I do my best. I didn't want to blow my own trumpet, but you know, you do have cool people on that show. So yeah, it's great to listen to. It's another show a little bit like Yes Indeed, kind of a little bit shorter and a little bit punchier, and you kind of get to the point of what you want to say, whereas here we just ramble and have long extended conversations about stuff. But it's a great show. I really love it. So yeah, I hope to see more of it.
Nothing wrong with a ramble, though.
It's what I do best. But yeah, because it's International Podcast Month and I'm talking to actual play podcasters, I thought we'd have you on to talk about Very Random Encounters. So you've given us a little bit of a taste of that. Do you want to tell us about some of the games you've played in the past and any you have coming up?
Sure. Like I said, we've got 19 seasons. So it's actually 18 different games because we played 5th edition D&D for our first season, and then we revisited 5th edition because we were invited to play the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, like as a pre-release thing as part of the Podcast of Ravnica series. So we actually only have 18 total games, but we have some more mainstream things like Star Wars was our last major season, but we've done very small RPGs like Dinosaur Princesses, which was like it's like a Saturday morning cartoon show.
Yeah, Dinosaur Princesses is cool.
I really enjoyed that. That's another mini season we played with physicist Lisa. You're all dinosaurs and princesses, and princesses in that game, that's not like a binary term. Everybody is a princess.
Excellent.
And we all had sort of like a piratey, strange adventure. It definitely felt like Saturday morning cartoon energy. I really liked that.
That sounds awesome.
We've played Glitter Hearts, which is one of my co-host's creation, Greg Gleatherman.
Yeah, I kind of hadn't clocked that, but of course, yes, that's a cool game.
Yeah. Yeah, Glitter Hearts is really wonderful. And I actually did some art for Glitter Hearts. I guess that's another thing that I've done in the TTRPG space. I did the logo for Glitter Hearts and I did some internal artwork for the book.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's just like a magical girl anime sort of thing. That season, that's another mini season. And so our special guest that time was Bianca Zelda of the Broadswords.
Oh, okay, yeah. Another big name. That's really cool. Like, I sort of feel like magical girls might lend itself better to randomization than maybe some other genres. I'm wondering like what the feel of the anime was. Was it more like Excel saga.
So we ended up with a team of together, all four of us were part of the volleyball squad, and we used volleyball as all of our team attacks and such.
Nice.
It was very fun.
Sounds pretty cool. Okay, I like the sound of that. I'll check that one out.
I will say, like, running VRE generally, you would think that randomization would be a detriment in some situations, but I really don't think so. The more we record VRE and the more episodes we put out, the more I realize, like, essentially I could do this forever. It's sort of an evergreen thing. Randomizing stuff doesn't actually limit you. It, for me, like, I can't have my preconceived notions of whatever plot I'm going to have in my head, which everybody is just sort of regurgitating those unconsciously. But when you randomize everything, you're like, oh, it's hard not to be surprised by everything that happens in the stories, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it kind of forces you to be very creative about how all of that strings together.
Yeah.
Certainly, like, listening to the first series of that, I'm like, but what's going to happen with all these kind of disparate elements? But, you know, as Game Master, you link all of those together very neatly, and it's very nice. It's very refreshing to listen to. Sometimes you listen to these actual play podcasts and they're very detailed and they have lovely, wonderful, very convoluted stories that go on in the background. But at the same time, you're like, nah, but I'm kind of more interested in a bit of goofy, lighthearted fun sometimes, you know? And that's certainly what you manage. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of the other seasons have very strong moral compasses.
Certainly, goofiness is at the forefront. We strive to be heartwarming at the least.
Right.
But I will say, like, the Fellowship season definitely has a very strong moral compass. And there are, like, darker seasons that are still goofy, but, like, we did Call of Cthulhu.
Sure.
At the same time, we had In Plain Sight is our second mini season with Joshua Hoover, who is an actor on The Walking Dead.
Right.
It's a very indie game. We've had complaints from listeners that they can't find it because it's, like, it's just not very in print.
Oh, no way.
It's a game where everybody plays a monster just trying to live a normal life.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it was a fun time, but that was exceptionally goofy because my character was a kaiju just trying to just live just as a very, very tall human. So she was married to Reskeek the skeleton. So they were just a couple of kaiju and a skeleton, living skeleton.
Yeah. Just your average slice of life role-playing game. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we definitely do tend towards goofy, but there are definitely, especially the deeper you get into our catalog, like we've really come into our own. I think someone summed it up that, like, halfway through the Marvel season, which is our second major season, we have an episode where it's called My Date with Greg, because Greg was the GM that season. Like, we wanted to do separate character building scenes that just happened to be a date with whatever PC we were currently interested in. Yeah. And so that's like a little pivot point where we figured out what we really were. So I'm really excited for you to keep listening after Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Even though
absolutely,
I'm very proud individually of every season, but I do think we get better and better as we go on.
Yeah.
And while Dungeons and Dragons, we really leaned hard. I was the DM in that one, and it was our first season. So we were leaning, like, super hard into randomization. I was doing their episodes where there's a secret word, like in Pee-wee's Playhouse, and if somebody says the secret word, I stop the action and say, like, well, you said the secret word, something random has to happen. And we threw that one out real quick.
Oh. That was
it's because while it's fun, it's extremely fun and silly as an idea, but in practice, every time that it happened, somebody would be in the middle of doing their action and I'd be like, wait, hold on, we gotta do this other thing.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, that's a bit irritating. Got you. But it's fun. It does stand up as a kind of fun listen. So, you know, I enjoy it. So having played 18/19 different games, what do you think makes for a good actual play podcast role-playing game?
So I think the thing we lean mostly on is, like, what kind of story the game gives you permission to tell just by its setting and how its mechanics lend itself to that setting. So, like, yeah. For example, like Mothership, it's a sci-fi horror game and the mechanics enforce that. We know what we're getting into when we start. So, for example, from the other end of this, I think, like, setting agnostic games are not great for TTRPG stuff. Maybe they are, but like GURPS wouldn't give us a lot to work with, right?
Yeah, I kind of feel like I had a similar conversation with ARP about this, and they were saying Fate, whilst it worked quite well because it's a fail forward mechanic, because it can do anything that can be quite difficult to tell a story with. And it's like that very typically indie thing of tying mechanics and themes together to tell a compelling narrative. That's what you need for a good role-playing game. So maybe what makes a good role-playing game is actually what makes a good actual play. Who knows?
It might be. I think there's something different there, because I know personally, like, my games that I play that aren't for public consumption, that's a different kettle of fish. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
In VRE, we're always at least conscious that this is for entertainment. Like, for instance, we don't get into a lot of combats, because combat in any game is very slow, and if we did a combat encounter, it'd likely take, like, a whole episode.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of, like, the D&D season where we have a whole episode of combat, but that's not the best audio.
So, yeah, it can drag.
Yeah. I will say, you mentioned failing forward. Any game where it's not just like success or fail, there are degrees of success and failure. So anything with like a failure, partial success, and a full success, that's nice. We've played several Powered by the Apocalypse games, Uncharted yeah. Worlds and Monster of the Week, and I think City of Mist,
I think, is a kind of PBTA adjacent.
Yeah, it's like built, it's much more than PBTA, because it's like the size of that book is like the Bible. It's huge.
Yeah, it's a big book. So Stories of a Broken Sun, run by ARP, they also tried City of Mist. And yeah, how did you find it?
So we did just do it as a mini season.
Yeah,
I like the idea quite a lot. City of Mist, it wants you to tell a very specific story.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about Shadowrun. Like, Shadowrun is basically designed just to tell one story, which is like runners go into a giant building, steal information, and leave. And that's what you do. And City of Mist, there's more to the story than the Shadowrun story, but it is still built from the ground up to tell there's a city, and you are each individually playing a character that has element of a legendary character from fiction.
Yeah.
I had fun in that world. I think we could have probably done a full season of that.
I've not played it. I've not read it. I'm just going on hearsay, because it sounds like it has a lot of moving parts, and it sounds fiddly. And like, I feel like fiddliness maybe doesn't necessarily translate very well to audio drama.
Yeah.
Which is maybe why, I don't know, I really like some of the Shadowrun actual plays I listen to. We were talking about the Talent Agency earlier. That's the Shadowrun Anarchy actual play, and I enjoy that. I think Shadowrun Anarchy is a bit simpler.
Oh, I love Shadowrun Anarchy.
I also listen to Neo Scum. And Neo Scum is great, but they don't do much mechanics talk. They don't do much table talk, and I'm really grateful for that, because Shadowrun is one of those games where I look at it, I'm very, very daunted, because it's so fiddly. Like, you have to know basically everything about the universe to even build a character.
Yeah.
I don't find that interesting.
I'm sort of the same way. So I'm playing in a homebrew campaign for City of Mist, in which the GM has thrown away basically the entire City of Mist. It's just basically that you eventually are going to have superpowers related to a legendary figure, I guess. I don't know. It seems mostly like it's Powered by the Apocalypse. And I will say, like, I'm really enjoying that. But I think that's what you're saying, with like, it's fiddly because this giant city of Mist is built on Powered by the Apocalypse, which is known and loved for its simplicity. It's like, you're doing anything by rolling 2d6 and figuring out if it's a fail, partial success, or full success. And City of Mist is like, okay, but what if we take that and make it super complicated?
Even some of the minor hacks to PBTA games that have been made over the years, like adding in things like 13 plus rolls in Dungeon World, even that seems a step too far.
Yeah.
So I love PBTA stuff in actual play. Like, obviously, Friends at the Table do a lot of that. And there's some other really good ones around. I have started listening to These Flimsy Rituals, which is pretty fantastic. Another really good one is Feelings First. They do a lot of Powered by the Apocalypse stuff. And like, these are really, really good shows. And they're like, they have high production values, but also the games that they play are very simple. So they leave space for interesting stories. That said, Forged in the Dark games work fantastically well, but they have loads and loads of moving parts, and they're super fiddly to play. So I don't know, maybe it's not about simplicity.
I think it's probably group to group, right? Like,
yeah.
And even for VRE, we rotate the GM each season. And so from season to season, you can get a different feel, just because the group can be subtly different when somebody's at the helm as opposed to somebody else.
Yeah,
I mean,
because
we've played several Powered by the Apocalypse games, and two of our major seasons were Powered by the Apocalypse hacks, which was Fellowship, which is a super strong season, has really memorable characters, and like I said, a strong moral compass. place, and then Root, which is based on the tabletop game Root.
Oh yeah, yeah, Kickstarted recently.
Yeah, we actually were part of the Kickstarter. We were on the Kickstarter page. They let us have preview components so that we could make the show before it was actually out. Yeah, it was neat. And that was Powered by the Apocalypse, but I was the GM in Root, and Wheels was the GM in Fellowship. And those were very different feeling games with similar themes, but I think they're both like really strong in their own sort of ways.
Right.
Like I said, we do a ton of editing. Were we on tape when I said we did a lot of editing for VRE? Dang. RIP that audio.
I was asking how much editing went into Very Random Encounters, because it sounds very slick, and you're doing a weekly podcast.
We actually do tons of editing, and it's gotten more and more. Of course, first of all, Wheels and I alternate editing. So that's why we can dedicate more time, because it's not just one of us doing it.
Yeah.
And then we've been doing this, like I said, for 19 seasons. So at this point, we're pretty good at it. And it's just Wheels and I both very much enjoy making the audio sound good.
Yeah.
We have a Patreon, and it's doing pretty successful. Like, the show doesn't cost us money anymore, which was good, which means we can do things like pay for Audio Blocks, which is a royalty free music service. From Dungeons and Dragons until partly through Tales from the Loop, actually. So the first seven seasons, I was doing all the music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. I always do the theme still, the theme remixes.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite parts, is that every season I do a remix of the theme song, so it goes with the mood of the new season. But I didn't have enough time to be editing and making music and doing all this stuff. So now we have this library of music that we can pull on. And we pay a lot of attention to make sure that feels right. And Root just has a great musical feel. Star Wars, the Star Wars is our most recent full season that we just finished. We just wrapped on that one. I'm very proud of that. It feels like Star Wars. Star Wars has a very specific sound.
Yeah, it does.
I feel like we did pretty good at that. I also like our Star Wars season because Lee, one of the other co-hosts, she is not really huge into Star Wars, and she was very nervous to be on that season because she felt like she would be hesitant to say anything because she wasn't sure it was right. But that actually ended up being a boon to a lot of our listeners who also aren't really huge Star Wars people. And
yeah,
so there's this real, very real voice of a character in the universe who's like, none of this makes any sense.
This is a bit of a tangent. I was thinking about this the other day, and there's this huge canon that surrounds Star Wars, but not just Star Wars, a lot of other big role-playing games as well, that is quite difficult to get through, and it can be a bit of a kind of imbalance at table between people who are big into lore and people who don't really care. And actually, I think it can be difficult to balance that, because what matters to one person will just not matter to another person. So I'm really pleased to hear that, somebody else in the world has experienced this, has at least found a way through it.
Skydra is the character that Lee plays, and I think Skydra's existence in the Star Wars universe is a breath of fresh air for Star Wars, because her character said these things that anybody who's watching Star Wars, I don't care if you're a huge fan or not, there are certain things about Star Wars that just fully don't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
The fact that you have a secret religious order, which is the Jedi, that died out decades ago, people wouldn't know about that stuff, And so Skydra's character not being familiar with what a lightsaber is or whatever makes sense for that character, because not everybody would know this ancient technology.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, people at the table, the humans running the characters, may not care about the lore, but that could also be true for the characters themselves.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. Yeah.
Skydra fully does not care about the Jedi. And by the end of the season, she actively doesn't like them.
Fair, I've often watched the Star Wars films and been a lot more on the side of the Sith than I have been on the side of the Jedi. So that probably says something about me.
It's weird because a lot of people have co-opted the Empire was right for their dumb stuff, but the Jedi Council sucks. That's just a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to hear about all these different games that you've played. This is probably the closest interview that I'm going to be doing to people who do one-shot campaigns every week, or every other week. I'm not sure there's anybody who does.
That'd be a lot.
A different campaign every week. That would be very difficult. But so it's really interesting to hear how, you have an experience of
a lot of different kinds of games, as well as a lot of different genres. And yeah, it's definitely interesting to know what works and perhaps what doesn't.
I mean, it certainly puts us in a kind of specific category. I don't know of too many other shows that do that, like mess with the genre. Like most shows are one thing for the whole, and that's the whole show, right?
Yeah.
We have a weird format where we get to change it up every dozen or so episodes, and yeah, really enjoy that.
How do you decide on a game? Does the new GM decide, or do you decide collectively?
So initially, when we did the first season, we were going to randomize the GM every time, but then we quickly realized, actually, you have to plan at least a little bit, you know, like you have to have time to roll the dice for the randomization. So we have just a cycle of how it goes.
Yeah.
Greg ran the Star Wars season, so that means that Wheels is running this next one we're going on. And actually, Wheels is doing a really interesting thing where they are going to run four different small campaigns that are about five episodes each, all with a through line of plot for our next big season. So it'll be very weird.
Okay.
All the games are going to be, there's going to be four games, and it's going to be all from the bundle for racial equality.
The mega bundle, as it has become referred to.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's kind of overwhelming how many games I now own because of that. But they went through and looked for all the horror themed stuff. And so the season collectively is going to be called The Horror, but we have a bunch of very smaller RPGs from smaller creators. Like Ooh. Slayers is the first one we're going for.
Cool. Any others you want to drop?
Martians, Agents of ODD is going to be our second game.
The name I recognize.
Wheels is more familiar with all this stuff than ours, but we'll certainly say it on the show. So,
cool. Well, there you go. That's an incentive to tune in. Yeah, I mean, the stuff in the Mega Bundle is really cool and so varied as well. Like, there's just weird stuff on there.
That was the impetus for Wheels to create this weird season that we're going to do that's, you know, weird even for us, is because we just have a giant stack of games.
Yeah, and it's like randomizing the game as well, you know?
Yeah.
You're not even choosing that to some extent because it's already been picked for you.
Right.
Now, the Mega Bundle is amazing, and I've not mentioned it enough on the show. Probably imagine most of my audience will have bought it. I hope they have anyway.
Right, yeah. If you did buy the Mega Bundle, just throwing it out there, you have Glitter Hearts.
Yep. You have Blades in the Dark.
You do. You have Blades in the Dark. You have Troika.
You have Troika as well. Yeah. You have two of the games I've been playing on Twitter recently, which are Archangel Dating Simulator, which is amazing. The other one was the Gateshead Engine. It's just a great bundle. And and includes not just tabletop role-playing games, incidentally.
Yeah, like video games. It has Night in the Woods, for example, which is a really good indie video game.
That's cool. It also has A Short Hike, which is an amazing indie video game.
Yeah, I love A Short
Hike.
So
cute. Definitely, I can't say check out the Mega Bundle, but if you did pay for it, then at least look through what you've got. I mean, there might be quite a lot of pages, but it's worth looking at.
I've definitely bought some of the games that I had that I technically do already own and then been like, oh, wait, that's in the Mega Bundle.
But, you know, at least you're giving back. That's great.
Yeah, for sure.
It's kind of like this big cultural moment in the indie space, I guess, where suddenly there's this huge explosion of game ownership. Blades in the Dark's gone into full circulation. Amazing. Yeah, it's really cool. Well, that sounds really great. I'm looking forward to your next season then, if that's got loads of Mega Bundle games in. Mm-hmm. Incredible. Is there anything else you want to say about your show?
So, like I said, it sounds like daunting that we have 19 seasons, but if you go to vre.show, which is our website, we have a listening guide, and it breaks down what the genres of each season are, and you can make a decision of which one sounds the most fun to you to listen to. And there's also a choose a random season button where you can just click that, and it'll just assign you a random one of those 19 seasons to listen to.
Ever on brand.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you should do a flowchart. Have you seen the Friends at the Table season flowchart?
I have.
Yeah, so cool. Definitely appealed to me. I mean, there was the option, do you just want to listen from the start, which obviously was the one I wanted to do. Well, thank you very much. Do you want to tell us where we can find you on the internet?
Twitter.com/LoganJenkins. That's where I'm most active. And then Very Random Encounters is where you'll find me. And Game Mechanics, eventually I'll get to season two. Yeah, it's coming soon.
Cool. Excellent. Well, I look forward to hearing that and all of those other things. And thank you. I'm definitely looking forward to hearing more of Very Random Encounters, even if I am so far behind.
That just means you got more to listen to. That's great.
Yeah, I know. It's great. It's a good place to be. So I guess all that remains is for me to say thank you very much for coming on Yes Indeed Pod, and we'd love to have you back on the show.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and thanks again to Logan for the interview. As always, you can find all of the links in the episode description. That's the last bonus episode for this International Podcast Month. It's been a blast, so thanks for listening and for indulging me.
Please, please, please check out Stories of a Broken Sun, The Magpies, and Very Random Encounters, all for completely different reasons. They're all run and played by very good people who would love your attention. Once again, I'm plugging the inaugural issue of the Indie Zine, which is on itch.io and DriveThruRPG, and features games, articles, and supplements from all across the indie scene. Although as project organizer I'm pretty biased, I think it's rad, and I'd love it if you could check it out and show it some love. All money goes back to each of the creators, and is a vote of confidence in the indie TTRPG scene. If you enjoy Yes Indeed Pod, please rate and review the show wherever you find your podcasts, or consider donating through the Ko-Fi page at ko-fi.com/yesindeedpod. Of course, you can always reach out to me through Twitter at yesindeedpod, that's YESINDIEDPOD. I'd love dearly to hear from you. Lastly, music credits. All music this week is from As I Figure by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Thanks, Kevin! Until next time, remember, does indie need you? Yes, indeed.